I'm live. How's everybody doing? Are you looking forward to that day? That will be soon. I want you to take your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter number 1 tonight. Philippians, chapter number 1. I want to thank you, sir. Boy, what a wonderful pastor Brother Gilmore is. Y'all have a wonderful man of God. I thank God for him, his wife. Probably everything that gets done is probably done by her behind the scenes. But anyway, I'm teasing. I thank the Lord for them and the blessing they've been to our family. And I thank God for this church. What a wonderful church this is. The faithfulness to stand true to God through these years. And Brother Gilmore's been through some things, hasn't he? Physically. And God has just been so good. And I thank the Lord for that. And I want to thank the Lord. This is the last night in the meeting, but I want to thank the Lord for the motel room that was given for us to stay in. It has been very, very comfortable. We appreciate that. And then they took us to something tonight. I'm not sure if it was Chinese or which one, but anyway, one of the two. We had Chinese tonight. Was it Chinese or was it Japanese? Chinese? It was good. Amen. And it was a great meal. We enjoyed it and had a great time fellowshipping around some good food and just had a great time in the Lord. I'm grateful to get to meet some men of God this week that we've had the privilege to meet and also to preach with. And I've got to hurry and get into the message because I got a lot to give you tonight. And I hope you'll listen with intensity tonight. Will you do that? Listen with your heart, not your head. Your head is hard ground. The birds will come by and take that seed away, and you'll never even know it was there. If you'll listen with your heart, though, that's fallow ground that can be tilled up. God can do something in your heart tonight. Philippians chapter 1, let's stand once again for the reading of the Word of God. Philippians 1, look in verse number 20. The Bible says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is... But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. I want to talk to you just a little bit on this subject. I'm in a strait betwixt two. Father, I pray that you would help us tonight. Bless not only the reading of your word, but furthermore the preaching of your word. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, take control tonight. And I pray that each one listening would listen like they've never listened before. Their hearts might be encouraged from the message tonight. And as the preacher has already said, may the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God lay heavy upon us tonight. And may we do business with you. May we be honest before you. And if we're lost, God help us to get saved. If we're saved and not right with you, help us to get right with you. If we're fallen away and no longer doing what we're supposed to be doing, help us to get busy once again. Whatever the case may be, Lord, help us to be hearers, but then doers of the word. And we'll thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing with me. I understand that we're in a revival this week, and the meeting has been very good, hasn't it? Revival is for the saved. There's no doubt about that. A lost person cannot be revived. We heard that this week from one of the preachers. I forget what... Which one alluded to that? Revival is for the saved. Saved needs to be brought back to life again. A lost person cannot be revived until, first of all, they've been made alive. Amen. And so I understand that. So what I'm going to preach here for just a little bit is going to center around those that are saved. Revival time. But while I'm thinking about it, I don't want to leave anybody out. Because I'm here to tell you there's a warning for the lost from tonight's admonition. See, hell is a present place. Right now, hell really exists. Amen. Not going to preach on that. But I want you to understand, if you are lost, that hell is not a figment of your imagination. It's as real as the ground that we stood upon. It is as real as the tent that we are under. It is real as the church place that you attend. It is real, ladies and gentlemen, and it is presently waiting for people who die without Jesus Christ as their Savior. But I want to say this, hell is a prepared place. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. I tire from hearing people, as you knock doors and talk to people, I tire from hearing people say, you know, well, God's an ogre. He built this place for everybody he doesn't like, and he just tosses them off into hell. I want to remind you, God never intended hell to be for you and for me. Amen. Amen. He never intended for anyone to go to hell. A person who rejects what his son has done will die because they choose to reject the only way to be able to go to heaven. That place was prepared for the devil and his angels. Amen. And so we need to understand that hell is a present place. It's a prepared place. But then I want to say that hell is a permanent place. When you get there, there'll be no escape. There'll be no going back. There'll be no second chances. Once you die and you go to that place, it will be forever, no doubt. And then I want to say hell is a painful place. You don't want to go there, ladies and gentlemen. You do not want to go to that awful place. In Luke 16, we understand that it has real fire. There's real feeling. There's real fear there in hell. The torments, the terrors, the thirst and the thoughts, the time of all eternity, spending there without God, the presence of things about you. I'm saying hell is real. And if you're here tonight, listen to me carefully. A word of warning to you, don't leave this tent. Don't reject what Jesus Christ wants to do in your life. He wants to change you forever. He offers to you the free gift of eternal life that we that are saved are enjoying. Amen. So with that being said, that takes care of those that are lost tonight. I trust you'll listen and pay close attention. But beloved, may I have your undivided attention a little while. May I talk to you that are saved and born again. I want to talk to you about this straight. Look at your Bible there once again in the book of Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. It's in 1 is where we were. Chapter 1, look at verse number 23. Paul says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is," would you say those words with me? Oh, come on. "Which is far better." I like that. Amen. I'm telling you, I like what Paul said right there. I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. I'm here to tell you, it's a far better place. Amen. And so I want to, first of all, notice by way of message tonight, a desire to depart. Paul has a desire to depart, to go, to be with Christ. Well, what does that mean, preacher? He has a desire to go to heaven. Anybody else here would testify to that tonight, as the preacher says, have a desire to go to heaven. I just sure like to see this world over with. Amen. I get sick and tired of seeing the mess that this world is making and the anti-God. And let me just throw this in as well, anti-American. That was free. I just thought I'd throw that in. But the anti-God and trying to make our country as though it never had any kind of a Christian root whatsoever. I'm here to say America did have Christian roots. Amen. And she's not a Christian nation. But I'm looking for the day. Just as Paul said, I'm looking for a day where I can. It's a desire in my heart to depart from this world, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Or better yet, I tell you what I really am. I'm anxious to hear, oh Gabriel, get that old horn ready to pipe and play. Amen. I'm ready to hear it sound. Amen. I'm ready to go to glory. I'm ready to hear that trumpet sound, that call to come up hither and to get out of this world. I'm excited about that, ladies and gentlemen. Paul said, I have a desire to depart and be with God or to be with Christ, which is, come on, help me. Now you're going to have to remember that phrase, because every now and then I'm going to stop and say it's what? I'm going to stop and say it's what? It's far better. It's not just a little better. It's not just some better. I'm saying it's far better. Amen. Paul said, I have a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is, come on, far better. Amen. Far better to be with God. Now you say, how could he say that? Well, in Hebrews chapter number 11, verses 9 through 10, I'll quote some of it, at least a little bit of it. The Bible talks about Abraham, that he left his home and at the bidding of God, and by faith, he took off on a journey. And here's what the Bible says. Are you listening to me? He searched for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I requested them to sing that song tonight before I preach. There's a place of dazzling beauty no human eye has ever seen. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about glory. I'm talking about heaven. I'm talking about a place where you and I, who are saved and born again, are going to get to enter one of these days. That ought to excite somebody tonight. Hallelujah. We're on our way to glory. And Abraham said, I'm looking for a city, not just any normal city. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. That's what I'm looking for. And it is... There's a couple of you on board still. Well, how can you say that? How can you say that it is far better? Now, you're going to have to hang on tight, because we have another preacher coming here in a little bit, and I got to get a lot of preaching done in just a short amount of time. So you pay attention. Hang on. How can you say it is far better? Number one, because of the missing things. Take your Bible with me over to the book of Revelation with me just a little bit. I'm talking about some missing things. What are you talking about? Well, hang on. You'll get on board with me. Revelation chapter number 20. Are you there? Well, wait for me. I'm coming. Amen. Revelation chapter number 22 is where you need to go. Here's what John had said in John said in Revelation 22 and verse number 20, he said, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Come on, practice the word. It's in your Bible. It's a biblical word. He said, I say to him, even so, come quickly. Amen. So be it. Come on, Lord, come back. Why? Because we're not looking for an undertaker. We're looking for an uppertaker. We're not looking for an airplane ride. We're looking for a plane air ride. Amen. That's old Lester Roloff. Hallelujah to God. I'm saying there's some things that are going to be missing. What's going to be missing, preacher? Number one, there's not going to be any more seas. Revelation 21 and verse number 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more what? Well, why? Why would he say there's no more sea? Because sea speaks of storms. And I don't know about you, I get tired of storms. Amen. We've had a lot of them recently. Tornadoes, hurricanes, things like that. Storms that blow in physically. But I'm here to say there's a lot of those storms that blow through a lot of Christians' lives. But hallelujah, one day there'll be no more of those storms that'll blow through our life, blow us off course, mess us up anymore. There will be no more seas. Hallelujah. I'm saying there's some missing things in heaven. And that is, caught you off guard, didn't I, huh? No more seas. That speaks of storm. But number two, I want to say there's no more sickness there. Look at verse number 4 of chapter 21. Look what it says. It says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hallelujah. No more sickness. I've watched my father-in-law battle these things that are attacking his body and working in his body. One day, no doubt, it's going to take him to glory. But I'm telling you, hallelujah, we're going to a place. There won't be that big C word anymore that'll enter in up there. There'll be no more pancreatitis. There'll be no more kidney stones. Hallelujah to God. There won't be any more sickness up there. I'm saying, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to a place where some of these things are going to be missing forever. No more sickness. See, sickness involves pain. It involves suffering. And it involves sadness. But I'm telling you, there won't be any of that. Hallelujah. Why? Because this is a far better place. Are you getting a hold of it yet? I'm saying it's not just better. It's just not a little better. This thing's far better, amen. It's way better than you and I could ever. You say, what's that word? Here you go. This will knock the stripe. My old father-in-law says, this will knock the stripe off of your candy. Hey, let me tell you what that means in the Greek. Far means a whole lot more than what this is down here. A whole lot better is what it's going to be yonder in glory. There's no more sickness. There's no more seas. There's no more sorrow. I think about broken homes and broken hearts. Oh, I'm sick and tired of seeing Satan. And you probably can understand sometimes when I say sick and tired, you understand what I'm trying to say. It grieves your heart to see what Satan is doing in Christian homes. I'm not talking about secular homes. I'm talking about Christian homes where he's dividing families apart and he's taking mom and dad and they're going separate ways. And young children are left with broken hearts behind. But hallelujah, up there, there will be no more separation. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more sighing. There'll be no more broken homes. Hallelujah. It'll all be over with. There'll be no more separation. What do you mean here, preacher? Go to 1 Thessalonians 4. Or with me real quickly. 1 Thessalonians 4, I'm talking about a place that is far better according to the Scripture. I'm trying to help you tonight to understand this world is not my home. We're just a passing through. Hallelujah. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Sing the marvelous grace of Jesus. Let's see, how's it go? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be. Amen. Why? Because some of these things are going to be no longer. Amen. Look at here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is where I told you, didn't I? Chapter number 4. Look at verse number 17. The Bible says, then we, which are alive, that's certainly not Baptist sometimes, and remain, shall be caught up together. I'm teasing with you. Are caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Get this. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Not just going to be there. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm saying hallelujah. There's no separation up there. There's no more having a casket laying here and people walking by and saying so long, good night down here. I'll see you in the morning. There'll be no more goodbyes. Oh, there'll be no more goodbyes in glory. Hallelujah, I'm here to tell you. There's no separation up there. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this place is far, far better. It's far better. Oh, man, you go on the road. Since we've gone on the road, I started to say we've seen mom and dad less, but when we pastored, we still didn't see them much anyway, because they're always gone. I guess maybe we might be seeing you more now than we saw you before, but I sure hate it when we come to the end of a meeting. We've had a good time together. We have to look at each other and say, well, we'll see you down the road somewhere. But up there, are you listening to me? There won't be any down the road. It'll be around the street of glory. Amen. We'll shout and we'll sing. We won't even say goodbye. We won't even say goodnight. You know why? Because there is no night up there. Hallelujah to God. I'm saying there's some things that are missing up there. There's some things that are missing. There's no more sea, no more sickness, no more sorrow. No more separation. Oh, this ought to get somebody in their gizzard somewhere. There's no more sin there. Revelation chapter number 22. I was reading this again. I like this all by myself. Revelation 22 and verse number 3. Look what it says. It says, and there shall be no more curse. Hallelujah. Why is there a curse upon this earth? Because of S-I-N. There won't be any more sin there. There'll be no more temptation to draw us away. There'll be nothing that will cause defilement in our heart ever again. Hallelujah. Sin will be a bygone. Sin will be gone, and it'll be gone forever. I'm saying, Paul said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is, oh, far better. It's far better. But then I want to say, there'll be no more Satan there. Woo! No more Satan there. Oh, in Revelation 20, verse number 20, I think it is. Revelation 20, and no, verse number 10, the Bible says, and Satan, they took him, and they took him and cast him in the lake of fire. That was prepared for him to begin with. Amen. They're going to cast him in the lake of fire, and he's gone. He's gone. He's gone forever. Satan is gone. I'm saying heaven's a far better place because of the missing things. But then I want to tell you, heaven's a far better place because of some meaningful things. Oh, what are you talking about? Well, I have five things I'm going to give you, but I think my list could probably grow a lot more. But I don't have the time to give you a lot more. So I'll just give you these five and see if they'll suffice tonight. What do you say? Meaningful things. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 13 says, I'd not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as others sorrow, for the day of the Lord. I'm not going to quote it right. The devil's messing with my mind, and that's okay. I got the infallible word right here in front of me. He can't mess with it. Amen. Concerning that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. I'm saying hallelujah one day. There's going to be a reunion. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Now get this. We're going to be caught up together to meet him in the... I said those. Woo! Those that have gone on before us. We're going to meet them again in glory. We're going to meet them. And together we'll be with the Lord. How long? Forever! Hey, man. It's meaningful to think about the reunion that's going to take place. Revelation chapter 4. Look here real quick. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. The door has to be opened by somebody, ladies and gentlemen. This door is in heaven. It had to be opened by somebody. Who do you suppose it was that reached over there, turned that knob, and kicked that door open? None other than Jesus himself. Come on. A door was opened in heaven. And it said, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. What am I saying? There's coming a day that door is going to be kicked open wide, and the reunion, oh, what a happy meeting will someday up yonder in glory where we'll meet our loved ones once again. I have a preacher friend that took me out of my home when I was 5. And I lived in 18 different foster homes. Don't feel sorry for me. From the time I was 5, the time I was about 14 and a half, 15 years of age. And then I ended up in a boys' home there. And all of those homes, with the exception of 2, were preachers' homes. It's all I've ever known is preaching. I'll just throw it in here. Someone one day asked me, said, why are you a Baptist? I said, well, I suppose if God wanted me to be a Catholic, he'd put me in Catholics' homes. I suppose God wanted me to be a Methodist, and that was the way to go. He had to put me in Methodist home. But I lived an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist home. Every one of them, with the exception of two, and they even went to a Baptist church. Amen. But I'm Baptist now by choice. Amen. Amen. But anyway, that had nothing to do with the sermon. But I lived in these homes. That particular man who came and got me, his name was James Tate. James Tate was very influential in my life. He was a blessing in my life. I got a call one day that James Tate was gone. He was gone. And man, I'm telling you, something was missing inside of me. And I got to thinking and got to singing some of those songs about glory. And I got to thinking about a day. One day I'm going to get to see James Tate again. Hallelujah to God. Is there somebody else here that's had somebody you know who has died, saved, and born again? Do you know that one day you're going to see them again yonder there in glory? What a reunion day that's going to be. I'm trying to say Paul was in a strait betwixt two. He had a desire to depart and to be with God, which is far better. There's meaningful things. Things that mean something to our heart. Amen. Not only reunion, how about this one? I like this one all by myself. How about the Roby? Look at Revelation chapter 19. Oh, man. There's a day where we're going to stand before Christ. He's going to judge us. Amen. And we'll give an account for all that we've done. But after all of that is over, in verse number 7, look what it says of chapter 19. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Wait a minute. Did I read that right? Did that say the righteousness of the saints? Is that what that scripture said? I believe that's what that scripture said. But wait a minute. Whose righteousness is it really? Oh, it's not my righteousness, but it's the righteousness of the Son of God. I've been granted the opportunity to be clothed, a change of garment. I'm going to be clothed in His righteousness. There's going to be a robing that takes place yonder there in glory. In the book of James, it says, now, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we hope. Come on, Bible students. We think. No, he said, but we know. We shall be like him. Why? For we shall see him as he is. Well, what is he? He's righteous. So what are we going to be? We're going to be righteous. And you're right. That's far better than it is down here. Amen. I'm putting on some new clothes yonder there in glory. See, down here, he sees me as righteous through his blood. But up there, I will wear the robes of his righteousness. That's meaningful to me, ladies and gentlemen. How about the rejoicing? Oh, man. I'm going to have a coronary, whatever that thing is with the heart, before I'm done here. But I'm thinking of Revelation chapter number 5 and back up to chapter number 4. Look at it there with me. There's going to be some rejoicing going on in heaven. Why rejoicing? Well, it centers around, the best I can tell for a little bit, it centers around about 3 words. One, it centers around crowns. 2, it centers around celebration. 3, it centers around cleanliness. Our brother talked to us about being clean last night. It centers around all those things. Some rejoicing. What are you talking about? In Revelation chapter number 4, you're going to see that we're going to take crowns and we're going to cast them at his feet. I don't think there's going to be just a gentle quiet taking of the crowns and placing them at his feet. I believe there's going to be some holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. I believe there's going to be some hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah involved in that. I think there's going to be, he is worthy. Boy, can you imagine? Oh, I'm going to get ahead of myself. But down here, we try to worship Him. We try to adore Him. But up there, there won't be anything. That'll be in the way. There won't be sin. There won't be people who are sitting there and saying, He's a wild man. He's crazy. Because you'll be crazy too. You know what I decided? I'm just going to go ahead and enjoy it on my way rather than wait until I get there. Some of you, you're going to step out there, bless your heart, and it's going to... Amen. Oh, amen! And the rest of us are going to be going, glory! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Oh, hi, it's good to see you here. Look at the Lamb. He sure is worthy. And on we'll go rejoicing, casting our crowns at His feet. But then let me say this. Celebration. Celebration. So you sit here and you think that's crazy stuff. But the Bible says in chapter 5 that they asked, who's going to open the book? Nobody's worthy to open the book. An angel's going to stand and say, weep not! Don't sigh! Don't sorrow! The Lamb! The Lamb is worthy to open the book. And heaven's just going to be one big crowd of emotion that's going to break forth. Woo! Glory! Glory to the Lamb. Why? Because He's worthy to open the book. And over yonder in the book of Revelation, chapter number 19, when we get up there, and it comes around to this celebration time. It comes around to this cleaning time. Huh? She has been allowed to dress herself in fine linen and white, white. Then it says, blessed is he who is bid to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Come on. It's time. You're talking about getting the Baptist excited. You can go ahead and sit down. I need somebody going to get excited. Hey, man, you talking about being excited. Are you listening to me? Oh, man, you talking about some cooking like you've never seen before. There's going to be a marriage. I just believe that's one of these things that just kind of gives us an illustration. Maybe what heaven. No, I just believe it's going to be a marriage supper. And it's not going to be a slice of cake. It's going to be a grand meal. Hallelujah. Man, we're going to rejoice. We're going to feast it up. Amen. Rejoicing. Amen. That's meaningful to me. That's meaningful to me. And you know that we're supposed to live down here like we're already there because you already are. How about this one? Meaningful things. How about the ride? The ride? Yeah, the marriage supper. We get so full, we're so fat and overloaded. Someone says, hey, everybody, pay attention. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is about to mount His trusty steed. Woo! Everybody's going to say, oh, the King, the glorious King, He's worthy, He's all powerful. Then He's going to say, boys and girls, go ahead and get on board with me. We're going to ride. We're going to ride. Oh, we're going to ride back to this earth. We're going to rule and reign with Him. Hallelujah. I got a couple spots picked out. I'm going to ask Him if I might be able to have them. Amen. Yeah, amen. What are you saying? I'm saying, Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. Why? Because it's far better. It's far better. Oh, the missing thing, the meaningful things. And I got to cut it off. How about the Master Himself? Huh. I shall see Him. How's the song go? I shall know him, I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hands. No longer will it be by the eyes of faith. Now it'll be on my actual eyes, looking on the very Son of God. I'll see him. I'll see him as the Lamb, and I'll see him as he's going to come back, the Lion, the tribe of Judah. The next time he comes, ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to be no picnic down here. Hey, man, he's coming back as the Lamb. See, the Lamb speaks. He's going to come back as the Lion. The Lamb speaks of his mercy. The Lion speaks of his muscles. I don't know about you, but my wife impresses me with her beauty. And every now and then she'll say to me, hey, handsome hunk, show me your muscle. And I'll give my big attempt. Woo! See, my big attempt to flex my muscles. And she acts as though she's impressed by that. But buddy, I'm going to tell you, when the King of Kings flexes his muscles, everybody here will be falling on their face before him, worshiping him, adoring him. Why? Because he's worthy. He's mighty. He's all powerful. We're going to see the King of Kings in his glory. And we're going to ride back with him. Paul says, have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Now hang on. We'll not only see him, but we're going to be able to serve him. I don't know about you, preacher, and I'm sure you're not like me. You're a lot better at keeping yourself clean, probably. But buddy, I'm telling you, this stinking flesh holds me back so often from being able to serve my master like I want to serve him. But one day, this mortal shall put on immortality. This corruption shall put on, come on, incorruption. Then I'll be able to serve him like I should be serving, like he deserves to be served. I'm saying hallelujah. Heaven is a far better. But I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, by way of closing, Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. Come on. Betwixt two. That means he's looking at heaven with one eye and saying, man, that would be. He's saying, man, that would be. But it is more needful for me to be here with you. We have a divine, let me get my notes here. We have a divine directive that includes a responsibility that must be accepted. Can I show you by Scripture how we're supposed to deal with our departed loved ones? We don't enshrine them. Come on, we don't enshrine them. We miss them. We love them. We long for the day to be reunited with them. But we don't enshrine them. Secondly, we don't only not enshrine them, we're not supposed to allow our life to be hindered or stopped in our service because of their departure. Would you look at Acts chapter number 1 with me? Acts chapter number 1. In Acts chapter number 1, hurry, 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 I got to quit this thing. Preacher's waving at me, I think. Acts chapter number 1, look at it, I'm teasing. Acts chapter number 1, look right here, look right here, look right here. Get a hold of this. Acts chapter number 1. Verse number 11. And while he went up from them, the men stood
beholding him as he went up from them. Now watch what the message is given. Hey boys, this same Jesus that you've seen go will so come in like manner as you've seen him go. You have a job to do. I don't quit serving because they're departed. Oh no, the reason the Lord left me here is because there's something else that he needs me to do. Look at me, listen. And if I quit serving him, I belittle the reason that he came, died, was buried, and rose again. I belittle what he did in my life by saying, Lord, this is gone, and now I'm going to stop serving you. Paul said, I'm in a strait. Boy, I want to go be with God, which is but right now, it's needful for me to be right here. I've got something you're wanting me to do. Now, will you watch this? Go to Hebrews chapter number 12 real quick and I'm done. Hebrews chapter number 12. Those who have gone on, are you listening to me? Watch this. Those who have gone on, who are saved, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, if I'm correct, it says, wherefore now seeing, is that the right way it starts off? Wherefore seeing that we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who might that be? Who might that be? Who is that cloud of witnesses? Well, that's just got to be Hebrews chapter number 12 or 11. It's got to be all those. No. Anybody that's saved and has departed has become a part of a cloud of witnesses. And you know what they're doing? Keep on going, Brother Renzi. Preach it, brother. Don't hold back. Keep on preaching. Keep on teaching. Keep on serving. Oh, don't stop. He's worthy. It's far better up here. One day you're going to come and we're going to get to see each other again. But don't you stop. Oh no. You keep going. You keep charging. We have a great cloud of witnesses. Somewhere there's a Jerry McDonald up there. Somewhere there's a Brother James Tate. Somewhere there's a Fred Vaught. Somewhere there's a man of God who has helped me in my life while they were down here. Now they're yonder in glory saying, keep on, Jerry. Keep on, Jerry. Don't quit. He's worthy. Your times are coming. Just keep going. Why? Because I'm in a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is. But my Lord says, son, right now, I need you where you are. Help me. I need you where you are. We'll stand our feet, our heads are bowed, and the preacher's going to come. But I wonder if tonight we ought not come, get on our knees and see the greater need of our life is to keep on serving Jesus.